is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Canada, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, a revelation to me that it receives from the very generous national government a great large grant, does very well in advertising, and yet now there are voices saying the reason the ratings are down or is that it's not prospering is the new conservative leader in Canada, Mr. Poilievre. To understand this dispute, I welcome my colleague Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer and a Canadian, who can help me see that the history of the CBC, dating from the 1930s, has run into a roadblock, which is to say partisanship. Conrad, a very good evening to you. The CBC is both radio and television, you tell me. It takes in a great deal of money. How does it present itself, and why is it blaming one man for its decline?
I can't explain what would have possessed the head of the network, John, to claim that the leader of the opposition is causing a decline in ratings. That is simply an insane argument. I mean, it's not we're not in the medieval world where an individual leader can announce, I don't like this, and masses of people will then stay away from it. I mean, the fact is, as Poilievre has replied, the problem isn't that he has criticized the network and as a result the ratings have gone down. The problem is the programming is inadequate and therefore the ratings went down and therefore he is criticizing it. I mean, the leader of the CBC, the president, Catherine Tate, just got the sequence wrong. She has to be absolutely out of her mind getting into this kind of a discussion, I think. But, you know, in practice what happens is all governments, as you know, dislike criticism. So all governments, whether of the moderate left or the moderate right, which is the range we have in this country, they never get extremists in, dislike the CBC because they think the network's being too critical of them. So they cut the budget. They just out of vengeance. And the way the organization works is they get a block grant. It's not stipulated by the federal government how the money is to be spent. So they receive this money, and the top-heavy administration protects their own position and lays off the more creative areas. So as a result, the programming becomes steadily comparatively inferior, and as a result, the ratings decline. I mean, it is the operation of the free market, but it operates once an artificial stimulus is given to the network. It's neither fish nor fowl. You see, they sell advertising to some extent, but for the most part, it's free service. So it's partly a traditional public broadcaster modeled on the BBC of the interwar years when it was founded, and partly it's just a hybrid that's growing in all directions with no particular strategy behind it, and they're paying a price for it.
I'm familiar with the BBC. I see their programming all the time in video packages. And, of course, they have a great reputation for masterpiece theater in the 20th century. And you say that CBC is modeled on on the BBC format. However, over these last years, the BBC has come under really harsh light because of its decided decision to go hard left and find the British government, illegitimate? How do you characterize accusing the British government of being a villain?
They manage it, and it's not only the British government. I mean, I find that the BBC, I admit they do often produce high-quality cultural programming and historical dramas and nature programs, you know, that are very good. But I can't bear the BBC News. It's not only always hostile to a conservative government in Britain. It's very anti-American. It's very anti-Israel. And I mean, it's just the usual left-wing screed. And it's particularly annoying, and this is not an ethnic disparagement, but it's particularly annoying coming from a kaleidoscope of ethnic groups, all of them speaking in a peculiar modification of an English accent. So you have the British national broadcaster being utilized by these people in a way that is anti-British and, broadly speaking, anti anti-Western and anti, you know, the traditional current butt of abuse, the you know, the white Caucasian, and it's very annoying. And they have had a number of excellent presidents of the BBC or director generals and whom I've known, and they struggle with more or less success with this, but that trait of the BBC's is becoming worse. And that's why I don't watch the BBC news anymore unless I have to get news from England.
Does the CBC model itself on that, finding fault with every Canadian government?
No, not that way. It was set up as an imitation. But, you know, it's not a similar situation. I mean, the BBC, you know, set up in a country that has no English-speaking neighbors. Broadcasting in Canada is always competing with American neighbors and, you know, American networks and stations that are, since they're addressing a much larger audience, tend to be better funded. And in addition, we have to have dual programming, English-French, which the British didn't have to do. But the idea of public broadcasting in the 1930s was you didn't have a lot of models to work from, so set up. But as its operations, it has not been particularly imitative of the BBC. And that's, it must be said, the CBC has had its moments, but in general, its quality programming is nothing like the volume of the BBC's and generally not of the same quality either.
The cynic in me says that Mr. Pellevre is receiving a bounty of attention and free advertising with this criticism. It must be helping his polls because he gets all this attention for being so powerful.
And not only that, John, I mean, as we've discussed, the problem here is the CBC's ratings are low. So most people don't like the CBC anyway. So that when you will have noted in what I wrote that almost 50% of the population wants it wound up, and the percentage that wants it maintained is only about a third. The rest are neutral. So when a network that isn't particularly popular attacks a politician, it doesn't raise their popularity, it raises his.
And how is Mr. Pellevre doing with 2 years to the next election?
Looking very strong so far. The latest polls show him countrywide 8 points ahead, which would give him a huge victory. The Conservatives got more votes than the Liberals. The opposition got more votes than Trudeau's government party in the last two elections. So if they actually ran 8 points ahead, it would be a big sweep. And the traditional Liberal stronghold of Quebec, the Liberals, the government, only are leading the Conservatives by 5 points, and the third party down there is almost equal to the Liberals. So if they don't come out of Quebec with almost half of what they need to govern, they are in real trouble, because that party doesn't elect any MPs between, almost none between Toronto and Vancouver. So they got to get it all in Quebec and the metropolitan Toronto.
I will now start sampling the CBC. I think I read that it's rendering itself on the internet only. Is that correct, Conrad? We have a better.
Well, they've espoused as a likely strategy going forward. But when your public broadcaster is not broadcasting and it's just on the internet, then what is the point? I mean, what are we doing it for? I mean, if that's what it is, we might as well, you know, everyone can set up their own voice on the internet if they want to.
And in the meantime, Mr. Pellevre enjoys the attention, I suspect.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be bothering him.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post about the Canadian Broadcasting Company, dating since 1932. Everything's changed from the 20th century business plan of broadcasting to what we have today, which is social media around the globe and into the solar system. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
What happened to her, Mario? How could she simply disappear after she was with you?
I don't have answers for that.
48 Hours at CBS News present.
I'm just going to ask you straight out. Did you kill Christy Wilson?
No, I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
Another season of My Life of Crime with Erin Moriarty. Award-winning correspondent Erin Moriarty brings you face-to-face with killers.
I will never say that I'm a cold-blooded killer. I'll never say I'm a murderer.
And the people they took from.
My son died running for his life.
This season, follow the evidence with Erin, beyond the speculation, including in the death of boxing legend Arturo Gatti.
My gut says I don't think he would take his life.
I know my husband killed himself.
Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm David Pogue from CBS Sunday Morning. In the new season of my podcast, Unsung Science, you'll meet the discoverers of Ernest Shackleton's shipwreck, Endurance, lost beneath the Antarctic for 100 years.
It looked like the day when it sank. It's just a very good environment down there to conserve a shipwreck.
The woman who invented forensic genealogy and has solved over 150 cold cases.
It's controversial, right? Because you never know if sitting around your Thanksgiving table, there's somebody who's been getting away with murder or rape.
And the NASA engineers who flew a helicopter on Mars.
The density is 1% that of Earth's. 1% air density. It sounds impossible, and it is almost impossible.
It's season 2 of Unsung Science, presented by CBS Sunday Morning and Simon & Schuster. Listen to Unsung Science on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.